Imagine for a second, right, that you just hired this brilliant new executive for your company.
Okay.
And this person is incredibly fast. I mean, they can juggle a million tasks at once, and they are single-handedly revolutionizing your daily operations.
Sounds like a dream hire, honestly.
Right. But then you quickly discover two massive problems. First, whenever you ask this executive, why they made a critical business decision, they just stare at you blankly.
Yeah.
Or they hand you a stack of incomprehensible math equations.
Yeah, that's not going to fly in a board meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And second, they have a corporate credit card with absolutely no limit. Every single month, you get a surprise bill for millions of dollars with zero explanation of what they actually bought or, why they bought it.
I mean, any management team would terminate that contract immediately.
Right.
You just cannot run a business with an executive who has infinite spending power and zero accountability.
You would think so.
Oh.
But in the enterprise world today, you actually can't fire them because that executive is your fleet of AI models. It's your autonomous agents.
Ah, right, the scale problem.
Exactly. Companies are scaling up their AI deployments so incredibly fast right now, but that scale is completely breaking traditional management structures. And that really brings us to the mission of our deep dive today.
Yeah, we have a fascinating stack of sources to go through today.
We do. We've got official press releases, developer documentation, some really candid beta tester notes, and industry analyses.
Yeah.
And it's all centered around a major coordinated launch from a company called OpenClaw.
Right, and they are rolling out a brand new governance playbook built around two autonomous AI agents named Dylan and Claudia.
Right. And to make this tangible for you listening, you can think of these two new agents as your newest C-suite hires. Dylan is like the ruthless, eagle-eyed new CFO for your cloud spend, and Claudia acts like your chief of staff, sitting right between your engineering team and your board of directors.
Yeah, and the central thesis of OpenClaw's launch here isn't just about adding, more flashy AI features to a dashboard. They are attempting to treat trust and budget as deeply interconnected governance issues.
Instead of just isolated IT problems.
Exactly. They want to solve the black box math problem, which is the executive explainability side. And they also want to solve the blank check problem, which is the real-time cost governance.
But before we get into the actual mechanics of what Dylan and Claudia do, I feel like we have to understand the mess they're supposed to clean up. Because looking through our sources, there's this recurring theme of enterprises essentially just losing control of their own infrastructure.
Yeah, well, it really comes down to what scale actually looks like in practice today. I mean, enterprises aren't just running one or two isolated language models anymore.
Right.
They are deploying these autonomous agents that interact with massive data pipelines, triggering literally thousands of automated actions a minute.
Thousands a minute. That's wild.
Right, and that level of scale opens up two very dangerous gaps. On the leadership side, business leaders are being asked to sign off on automated decisions, but they can't confidently understand why the AI made those
Which
decisions.
is a huge liability.
A massive legal and operational liability. Meanwhile, down in the trenches, your engineering and finance teams are experiencing what the beta testers actually described as reactive fire drills.
Reactive fire drills.
Yeah, just figure out where their budget went on any given Tuesday.
Okay, wait, let me pause you there because the reactive fire drill concept seems a bit strange to me on the surface. Don't we already have cloud billing dashboards? I mean, every major cloud provider has tools that visualize your daily spend.
They do, yeah.
So if a company adds AI to their tech stack, why are they suddenly experiencing all this financial chaos?
Well, the problem with standard cloud billing dashboards is that they lack correlation logic.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
So they show you a dollar amount, say, you see a massive spike in compute costs at 2 in the afternoon, but they don't tell you which specific AI behavior caused it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they basically treat AI compute the exact same way they treat simple website hosting, which is just a fundamental mismatch.
So it's like it tells you the house is burning, but it doesn't tell you who left the stove on or even which room the stove is in.
That's a great way to put it. And in an enterprise environment, that stove could be hidden across fragmented dashboards, multiple cloud accounts, different proprietary model providers, third-party APIs. So when a massive billing spike happens, engineering teams literally have to halt their actual product development and spend days digging through raw code logs just to inventory the costs.
Wow, so they just stop working on the product to do accounting.
Exactly. They have to play forensic accountant to figure out, was this spike caused by a legitimate surge in user traffic? Or did an autonomous agent just get confused and trapped in an infinite loop, querying a highly expensive language model 1,000 times a second?
Which perfectly sets the stage for our first new agent. Because OpenClaw is positioning Dylan as the cost governance watch list agent. It is built specifically to stop that financial bleeding. The documentation describes Dylan as a continuous, rule-driven monitor that just sits in the background and ingests a massive variety of cost signals.
And those signals, they include standard usage metrics and request rates, sure, but Dylan goes much deeper than that.
Yeah, I saw it monitors the specific types of models being called, right?
Exactly. Like, is it calling a cheap, fast model or a massive, expensive one? And it also tracks inference latency.
Inference latency, that's basically the time it takes for a model to think and generate an output, right?
Right, and a spike in latency often precedes a massive spike in cost. So Dylan is constantly evaluating all of these signals against highly configurable policies.
Yeah, and that customization aspect really stood out in the developer notes. Mm-hmm. You aren't just setting a hard cap of like $10,000. You can actually build anomaly detectors and seasonality adjustments.
Which is huge.
Yeah, like Dylan can learn that a massive spike in compute traffic on Black Friday is perfectly normal. But that exact same spike at 3 a.m. on a random Tuesday in March, that's a severe anomaly that needs to be flagged.
And when it flags that anomaly, Dylan doesn't just send a generic alert. It executes three escalating levels of action.
Walk us through this.
First, it generates an operationally focused explanation. It tells the developers the specific root cause. So, for example, it identifies the exact line of code or the specific prompt chain that is actually burning the money.
Okay, that's super helpful.
Second, it recommends mitigation steps. So it might suggest dynamically swapping out the heavy model for a smaller, cheaper one, or maybe caching repetitive requests so the AI doesn't have to literally rethink the same answer 1,000 times.
And then the third action is where the automation really kicks in, right?
Exactly.
Because if an engineering team authorizes it, Dylan can execute those predefined mitigations entirely on its own.
Yeah.
Let's expand on the idea of a smart thermostat for your AI infrastructure. Because a basic dashboard is really just a thermometer, right? It sends a push notification to your phone saying, hey, your house is 90 degrees.
Which is just annoying. It just creates work for you.
Right. But Dylan is a true smart system. Its sensors are those telemetry APIs we just talked about, constantly reading the temperature of your compute spend.
Yeah.
And its wiring connects directly back into your infrastructure. So when it gets too hot, it doesn't just alert you. It automatically closes the digital blinds, switches your traffic to a cheaper server, and sends you a nice summary of the money it just saved.
And the mechanism enabling that automation is what the industry calls low latency detection. Because Dylan is applying that correlation logic, it parses the metadata of the API requests in real time.
So it's catching things instantly.
Exactly. It ties the high-level cloud spend directly to concrete agent behaviors. It catches the misconfigured behavior before the bill even generates. Yeah, this reduces the noise for the engineering team and provides a really clear pathway for allocating costs back to specific product owners.
So Dylan is down in the server room managing the money, stopping the infinite loops, doing the forensic accounting.
Right.
But fixing a broken loop in the code doesn't solve the boardroom problem. A CEO doesn't care about a high-frequency API loop. The CEO cares that a customer was denied a service, and they want to know why.
Exactly.
That leaves the other half of the governance equation entirely unaddressed. And that is where OpenClaw introduces Claudia.
Yeah, OpenClaw refers to Claudia as the executive explainability agent. If Dylan is talking to your infrastructure, Claudia is talking to your leadership. It basically functions as an outward-facing translation layer.
The sources detail how it takes incredibly dense technical artifacts. I'm talking things like model reasoning traces, prompt chains, agent action logs, and it wraps them all into short, plain English narrative summaries.
Yeah, the goal is to tell a non-technical stakeholder exactly what happened. Why the model made a specific inference in business terms, the statistical confidence of that decision, and the recommended governance actions.
Okay, to put that in a practical context for the listener, imagine an AI agent is responsible for reviewing commercial loan applications.
Okay.
And the agent denies a massive loan. If the board asks why, the engineering team would traditionally produce this insane matrix of weights, parameters, neural pathways.
Which is completely useless to a board of directors.
Exactly. It's gibberish to them. But Claudia ingests that mathematical matrix and outputs a memo stating, quote, the loan was denied because the debt-to-income ratio exceeded our risk threshold. The model's confidence is 95%, but it noted that the applicant's income data was pulled from an outdated tax year. Recommendation: request updated financial documents before final denial.
And the beta tester notes also highlight this feature called decision rehearsal, which takes this a whole step further.
Yeah, this was fascinating.
So if an executive receives that memo, they can actually run counterfactual explanations. They can ask Claudia, hey, what if we had lowered the debt-to-income threshold by 5%? What would the business impact have been?
Okay, wait. I need to push back on this, because it sounds a bit like magic.
Fair enough.
How does an LLM simulate the business impact of a completely different threshold without actually rewriting and executing new code against the database?
It's a great technical question, and it's not magic. It's actually probability mapping.
Okay, how does that work?
So Claudia isn't compiling new code. It searches the parameter space of the primary model's historical reasoning traces. It looks at similar data paths from past applications and calculates the probabilistic outcome of that 5% shift.
So it's using historical patterns.
Exactly. It allows the executive to simulate alternate choices based on those patterns without needing a data scientist in the room to run the numbers.
Okay, I have to stop you there because this sounds like a massive legal trap. We all know language models can hallucinate. They confidently invent facts to smooth over complex nuances all the time.
They do, yeah.
Isn't it inherently risky to have an AI summarize another AI's reasoning? I mean, what happens legally if a bank gets sued for a denied loan and they bring Claudia's plain English memo to court to defend themselves? But it turns out Claudia hallucinated the reasoning, and the primary model actually denied the loan based on like a biased data point. Who's liable for that?
The liability rests entirely on the enterprise deploying the tool, which is exactly why your skepticism is warranted. This is the central tension of the Claudia agent. The overarching goal of Claudia, according to OpenClaw, is reducing trust friction.
Trust friction. Wow. That sounds like a very polished corporate euphemism for we want regulators and executives to stop asking hard questions so we can deploy faster.
I mean, it absolutely can be used that way, but from a purely operational standpoint, it is a legitimate bottleneck. If a board doesn't understand a technology, they just won't approve it. The danger you are pointing out is what we call a dual risk. If Claudia provides explanations that are too confident and too polished, it might lull executives into over-trusting imperfect models.
Right. They see a beautifully formatted memo and just assume the underlying AI is flawless.
Exactly, leading directly to the liability nightmare you just described.
But on the flip side, if they program Claudia to be overly cautious, the explanations will just be drowning in legal caveats and warnings, which makes the summaries totally useless for making a rapid business decision.
Which means Claudia has to thread an incredibly narrow needle. The summaries must be truthful, concise, and actionable without masking the genuine uncertainties of the primary model.
And this brings us to how these tools are actually built. Because how you integrate Dylan and Claudia into a corporate network is just as important as what they actually do. Let's look under the hood at the design choices OpenClaw made here.
Yeah, so on the back end, OpenClaw designed both agents to integrate directly with standard enterprise telemetry. They plug into your existing cloud billing APIs, your model usage logs, and your MLOps pipelines.
And the MLOps pipeline, that's essentially the conveyor belt that keeps your machine learning models running and updated, right?
Exactly. And importantly, both agents generate rigorous audit trails. Compliance teams can retain immutable records of every single explanation Claudia provides and every automated action Dylan takes.
And OpenClaw heavily emphasized configurability over rigid defaults. They know enterprise environments are incredibly complex.
Right.
So customers use role-based access controls to define exactly who gets alerted for specific anomalies.
Right.
And they can set up red team-style review flows, requiring a human sign-off before any automated mitigation takes place.
Right.
Don't have to boil the ocean on day one. You can start small, connecting your basic billing logs, and slowly opt into the deeper telemetry tracing once you trust the system.
Yeah.
But speaking of opting into that deep tracing, I noticed a glaring irony in OpenClaw's pricing model.
The tiered pricing structure.
Yes. Okay, so there is a baseline platform fee, but then there are usage-based charges tied to two specific things: telemetry ingestion, and the compute power required for the agents to actually run their explanations and simulations.
All right.
So if I understand this correctly, you have to pay for the compute required to explain your compute. If you aren't careful, couldn't Dylan, your supposed cost-saving agent, end up drastically increasing your overall costs?
It is a massive risk factor. You are fundamentally deploying more AI to manage your AI. The compute required for Claudia to query historical reasoning graphs and generate those plain English summaries it's extremely resource intensive.
Yep.
So if an enterprise doesn't carefully manage how often they trigger these governance tools, they might solve their unpredictable model spend by just replacing it with unpredictable governance spend.
So Dylan might literally have to start policing his own compute usage.
Basically, yeah.
And beyond the financial cost, there is a massive data governance concern here that the sources only briefly touch on. If your primary AI agent is processing highly sensitive customer data, say, medical records to recommend a treatment, and then the logs of that action are sent to Claudia for summarization.
Claudia now holds that sensitive data.
Exactly. You've just duplicated your privacy footprint.
You are doubling your attack surface. Anytime you send internal model logs, which often contain personally identifiable information or proprietary business logic, through a secondary system for analysis, you create a new vulnerability.
Right.
The integration complexity of adding governance agents always introduces new security considerations. You have to secure the watcher just as rigorously as you secure the primary system.
So we have this powerful new dual agent system. It attempts to solve the scale bottlenecks of enterprise AI, but it clearly brings its own set of risks regarding hallucinations, runaway costs, and data privacy. Based on the industry analyses we reviewed, there is a very clear playbook on what we should be watching for in the coming months and how different stakeholders should prepare. Let's break down those actionable steps for the listeners.
The first indicator to watch in the broader market is adoption metrics. We need to see who is actually championing Dylan and Claudia inside these enterprises.
Like which department?
Exactly. Is it the finance team desperately trying to control the budget? Is it the security team demanding better audit trails? Or is it the product team just trying to bypass compliance bottlenecks? The internal champion will dictate how the tool is actually used.
We also need to look for real-world proof points, I think. OpenClaw is making massive promises about low latency detection. We need to verify if early enterprise customers are actually reporting measurable reductions in surprise cloud spend. Are they seeing a genuine improvement in their time to triage when a model breaks? And most importantly, returning to our legal debate earlier, we need independent verification of the accuracy of Claudia's explanation artifacts. Are they faithful representations of the model's underlying math, or are they introducing misleading simplifications?
And regulators will certainly be watching that. Explainability tooling is a massive focus for global regulators right now. These OpenClaw agents could very quickly become the industry case studies, either establishing the gold standard for best practices or serving as cautionary tales in future enforcement actions.
There's also a major vendor dynamics question. OpenClaw is going to be capturing an incredible amount of valuable telemetry. The question is whether they will publish open standards for these explainability traces and cost logs, which would allow customers to easily integrate with other governance tools.
Or will they take a proprietary approach?
Exactly. Hoarding the data formats to push for vendor lock-in. That decision is going to shape the entire AI governance ecosystem.
It definitely will. But for you, the listener, depending on your specific role, there are immediate steps you can take today.
Let's hear them.
If you are in the C-suite, the recommendation is clear. Use Claudia as a tool to accelerate your governance conversations, but absolutely mandate a human-in-the-loop requirement for any critical business decisions.
Right. Do not just accept a beautifully formatted summary at face value.
Exactly. Demand to see the sample outputs, walk through them with your technical leads, and ensure those plain English explanations genuinely map back to the actual mathematical realities of the model.
And what if someone listening is a finance or engineering lead?
Your playbook is to pilot Dylan, but to do it with extreme caution. Start with a very small subset of your high variance, unpredictable spend accounts.
Just to test the waters.
Right. Use that limited pilot to validate whether Dylan's correlation logic actually identifies the correct root cause. You have to tune those mitigation policies manually before you ever consider rolling it out company-wide.
Which brings up a crucial point for the compliance and security listeners out there. You have to demand end-to-end encryption for all this telemetry data being passed back and forth.
Oh, absolutely.
And you need ironclad data retention policy so you don't inadvertently create a massive privacy vulnerability. But beyond that, you need a highly specific playbook for handling automated mitigations that go wrong. Mm. Because what happens when Dylan hits a false positive?
Right. The nightmare scenario.
Let's say you give Dylan full autonomy to execute cost-saving measures. He misinterprets a massive legitimate spike in user traffic as a rogue loop, and he aggressively scales down your primary customer-facing model right in the middle of a vital product launch.
The financial damage of that false positive could be far worse than the cloud bill he was trying to prevent in the first place. That is exactly why testing the automated mitigation defaults in a sandbox environment is just non-negotiable. You have to balance the speed of automated cost savings with the safety of human oversight. You need a fast, tested rollback plan for the exact moment the governance agent makes a catastrophic mistake.
Bringing this all together, what OpenClaw is attempting with Dylan and Claudia represents a highly pragmatic shift. They are no longer treating the black box problem and the surprise bill problem as disjointed IT headaches.
Yeah.
They are actively packaging technical tracing, natural language summaries, and policy-driven automation into a single, unified governance strategy.
And the success of that strategy will ultimately depend on how seamlessly these tools integrate into existing enterprise systems. The true fidelity of the summaries Claudia generates and the discipline of the enterprise community to establish sensible, safe guardrails around these tools.
It really feels like we are crossing a major threshold here. I mean, we spent the last few years just trying to build AI models that function properly.
Yeah, just getting them to work.
Right. And now we are dedicating massive amounts of engineering resources to building AI specifically designed to watch, audit, and explain the first generation of AI.
I think that captures the reality perfectly, and it leads to a rather provocative thought about the ultimate trajectory of this technology.
Oh, let's hear it.
By deploying autonomous agents like Dylan and Claudia to oversee our infrastructure, we are officially entering an era of recursive AI management. We literally have AI managing AI.
Wow. Yeah, we do.
It begs a fascinating question about the future of corporate structure. I mean, if an AI is optimizing the digital infrastructure, and an AI is auditing the algorithmic decisions, and an AI is summarizing the final reports for the board of directors, how long until human executives realize they are primarily just acting as middle managers for a fleet of AI executives?
That is wild to think about.
And when that happens, what is the actual value of human intuition in business leadership?
That is definitely a thought that will stick with you. If you hire a whole C-suite of AIs, eventually you really have to ask, who is actually running the company?
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the tools you rely on, and we will catch you next time.